McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Wednesday morning. We'll take you for 3 hours. You know how it works. Got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 877-337-6666. We got Fliegelman on the other side, and we're taking your phone calls till then, and we are still basking in the glow of what is becoming the Garden Party. As four consecutive nights, four straight victories, the Rangers and the Knicks, we know the heroics of last night. Who cares about the two-minute report? We knew there was some tugging on the jerseys. We knew it. We knew there might have been a foul or two. No one cares. Stop crying, Philadelphia. It's 2-0 for the New York Knicks, and now it is 2-0 for the New York Rangers as they take care of the Capitals. And now, I mean, it's starting to feel, especially, you know, the thing about this win for the Rangers is I'm big on this. I say this a lot. If you listen to me, if you're a fan, I talk about the idea a lot of strengths being your strengths in the big moment. And if you look at these two series from these two teams that we've had as high expectations for as we have had in years, I mean, years, decades. It's the first time since 94 they've both won 50 games heading into the playoffs. Knicks are obviously the two seed. Rangers, the number one overall seed, President Trophy winner. Most points in the NHL. High expectations going against, you know, what's considered the worst playoff team in the East this year by far, and one of the worst playoff teams that have gotten in a long time, despite being a team that's got some, you know, big-time players, and Ovechkin, who's done nothing in these first two games, and having a little bit of a track record with some of the with Oshie and obviously Tom Wilson. But what I like about these two series, and then we'll get into specifically with the Rangers, is I'm big on strengths being strengths and overcoming weaknesses, and that's kind of like the idea that the Knicks have overcome in the first two games their strength not being there is big for me. If you can win without your strength, without your superstar playing well, without Brunson being the leader of this team, getting it from your other places, which is part of your strength too, the role players of this team. But to get through these two games against the team that's had the two best players in the series by far, and to still be up 2-0, that's a major positive moving forward because you expect your strength to be your strength. Now, it can quickly become, well, now you have a problem because your team is no longer and your strengths are no longer what you thought them to be if Brunson continues to struggle. But so far, I'm not concerned about that. And with this Ranger game last night, and now their strengths have been the special teams, the power play and the penalty kill, as they are one of the best teams in all the NHL with it. We know that the struggles they've had 5-on-5, right? The top line, you know, Zibanejad, who is the star of this game and had an incredible game, has the down season. Panarin having a great season, being more aggressive, shooting the puck. But ultimately, this team, the fears were that in the postseason, which we've seen time and time again with this Ranger team over, you know, going back since 2012, when really this great run of consistent, you know, with maybe a couple years in the middle of taking off, but this consistent run of playoff runs after playoff runs after playoff runs, we see a couple of things. We see hard-fought games, goals are tight to come by, and we see these long knock-em-out, drag-em-out series. But this team in particular, so good at the power play, and some of the numbers, despite the idea of being the best team in the NHL, and having the President's Trophy, so many numbers inside the NHL and so many different pundits telling you, well, their numbers 5-on-5 are so poor, it's so unique to have a team with this many points and this kind of record, struggling to score goals at even strength. And you knew, and the fears of this team were, that they were going to, if the power play runs dry, how do they still win? And for me, having that strength be there out the gate, and I know it's against the lesser opponent. But you see what's going on here. You see what Wilson's trying to do. You see what Oshie's trying to do, trying to intimidate the bread man, intimidate Panarin. You got Tom Wilson elbowing Cooley in the face. Like, they're trying to bring this thing down. But to watch this team and the power play be this dynamic and have them withhold the early onslaught of Washington, and going into the game, like we talked about it, it looked like Washington was dead in game one. And you weren't sure how they were going to be able to score. They score one goal, it goes off two skates, gets past Igor, who's played well in these first two games. And your thought process is, well, how does this team even compete? This team is too old, it's too slow, it's too tired, it's too this, it's too that, the Rangers are too good. And they come out flying. They come out flying in this game, and the Rangers are a little bit on their heels, and they have to overcome an early goal. And they get right back into it, and then you see the power play and the penalty kill, and the shorthanded goal in particular was just a thing of beauty. The passing, the skill, the precision of this Rangers team, they are just far better than Washington. And yes, it ends up being a tight game, 4-3, and the final minutes of this game, if you go back and listen to it too, it's one of, like, Sam is so out of breath trying to call the damn thing that it's amazing to me that he got through it. It was almost anticlimactic, because it was so long and so persistent, and they couldn't clear the puck. But ultimately, as tight as the final score might have been, this Ranger team is just far better than Washington. It's just far better. And when your strengths shine through, and the team they've been in the regular season, and we know what Panarin's been. We know, even though Zibanejad has had a struggle at times this year, how talented he is, how good they are on the penalty kill, sets up the shorthanded goal, how good they are on the power play, how dynamic it is, how quick the puck moves. And for them to be the team that we've seen in the regular season and dominate this hockey game and win these two first games, setting up for a short series, which I can't tell you how imperative it is. And as the Rangers, unfortunately for Islander fans, look to get ready to take on the Carolina Hurricanes, who are favored to win the whole thing, who are a very difficult team, who present a major challenge for the New York Rangers. They need to get through this series quickly and to not have one of those, because we've seen it time and time again throughout the history of this Rangers team in recent memory in the playoffs. Win game one, lose game two. Win game one, lose game two. Win game three, lose game four. And even if they're a better team, even if you've never felt like they don't have control of the series, and even if you were confident the whole way through, it became this internal and external battle against an inferior opponent. And last year, hey, I thought it was the same thing. I thought they were far better than the Devils. They took a 2-0 lead. So by no means are we calling the series over, because anything can happen, and we saw how close it could have come to being a tie game at the end of this game against Washington. But ultimately, watching this team, watching how far better they are than this Washington Capitals team, and seeing their strengths shine through, and having both of these Garden teams 2-0. When is the last time? I didn't check to see when it was the last time. I got to go see. Probably 94, if it ever happened before. I mean, do you remember what it was like? I know some of you, I heard Evan today yelling about people who are under 35 who have no memory of this. I know that. I know that anybody who's under 35 or under 40 years old has a hard time hearkening back to 1994 and listening to Mike and the Mad Dog live at every single game and hearing the stories, and I know I've heard them all because I worked on the show, but not that show, but with Mike. Oh, Dog hated to get on the plane to Vancouver. He threw a fit. Like, you've heard all the stories back and forth, all these playoff games, and now we are looking at two teams that have gone four consecutive nights, won home games at that Garden, in front of that Garden crowd. And the experience we've had. Now, yes, it's been a little bit more exciting with the Knicks than it is with the Rangers. A little more of a fait accompli. A little bit more of, hey, they're far better than this team. It would be a disaster if they lose. And a little bit of a, not such the excitement. And I mean, listen, this last night was not anything near the Knick game that gave you a moment you'll remember forever. But four nights in a row, back to back to back to back, watching these two teams as we prepare for an NFL draft, and we're going to get to it, because you know You know what I've got to say. Reports today about the Giants looking to trade up. How about that? How about that? But they love their quarterback. They don't have buyer's remorse. No, they're just going to move heaven and earth to move up to three. But that's okay. We'll get to that. But as we look to the NFL draft and see teams that we consistently see drafting 6th overall and 10th overall and 5th overall and 2nd overall, as we said goodbye yesterday to a 2nd overall pick, that was a disaster. Jets haven't made the playoffs in forever. Giants have been one of the worst franchises in the sport since winning the Super Bowl in 2011. The Knicks have been garbage for forever. The Rangers have been a major disappointment come playoff time. All of that fades away as we look at these two teams getting up 2-0 in these two series and feeling like we have a special spring, harkening back to 1994, and it feels good, and I'm going to bask in it. And now we got to wait a couple of days, which sucks. Why are so many days off in between? But we got the hockey story, we got the Knicks story, we got the baseball story. We'll get to the NFL draft in a bit, but obviously both baseball teams played yesterday. The Mets have now lost 3 in a row. And I sense that for the Met fans, and again, it just happened last night, West Coast game, I don't think the Met fans are panicking right now. I think the Met fans have been so enthused. Now, they haven't lost. This is the first series loss that they've had since dropping that 5th game to start the year. So they've done a really nice job. They've battled back. This offense has just gone ice cold, but I don't sense where I feel like a 3-game loss and the Yankee fans were ready to absolutely turn on this team and get vicious again with how much they hate it and the offense sucks and it's an impossible watch and it's the same thing as last year, just Soto and Judge is washed and they need to get rid of Glaber. I mean, that's what the Yankee fan has brought from a 3-game losing streak. I think the Met fan is still pretty excited about the way this team has played. But ultimately, offense has gone ice cold here, and something has happened. 2 out of the last 3 games, when you look around the landscape of baseball, is hard to find. Where 2 of the last 3 games, they have allowed a starting pitcher to go 8 shutout innings against them. In Tyler Glasnow and Logan Webb. Now, it's 2 of the best pitchers in the National League. It's 2 aces of their staffs, especially with the way Yamamoto's pitched. Glasnow is the ace pitcher of the Dodgers. But this offense has gone cold, particularly against the starting pitching. They've been outscored by a ton over these last 3 games. And despite getting still decent pitching performances, and Severino obviously was terrific through the first 4, some would say perfect. Eventually, he gave him a couple of runs, but really watching the team, it's one of the, you know, the offense comes and goes with this group. We've seen it for a couple of years. They are a streaky group. We know how streaky Lindor is. We've seen how streaky Alonso can be. Marte's really been consistent here throughout this, but eventually the offense is going to dry up a little bit. And what I'm looking forward to now, as we get bad news about DJ LeMahieu and the New York Yankees, JD Martinez hopefully is going to come back to with this team in hopefully Friday this weekend sometime, and they could use the injection of a little bit of offense. But for me, even watching the team right now, this is the first series they lost, and this is how quick baseball can turn. Right? We get hung up on this. We treat it like a football season. You know, we get so excited when they're doing well, so angry when they're doing poorly. But I think right now, I'm getting the feel for it. I would think that the Met fans right now aren't exactly too upset with the idea of off the big winning streak, getting shut down by Glasnow and losing the last game of that Dodger series, and then pretty much having 2 offensive no-shows to start this San Francisco series. I don't know if the panic mode is set in. If it has, shame on you. They're still a game over 500. I think this offense has shown a lot of grittiness and a lot of toughness over the last 3 weeks to get too upset about a 3-game stretch. The starting pitching has been fairly good. It doesn't give you a lot of innings. The bullpen's been great. You've had a couple storylines in that bullpen, and you know, Reed Garrett and obviously Diaz coming back, where you feel good about where the pitching is. But it's a three-game losing streak. The offense has gone cold, and it continues to be what it's been. And really what we're seeing from both of these teams is the Yankees do erupt a little bit in the first inning and then do nothing after that to get a victory in against Oakland. We'll get to them as well, and the bad news of DJ LeMahieu. But these teams are hot and cold. And these offenses, both of these offenses, have stretches where they look awful and stretches where they look dominant. And the Mets have just come off a long winning streak and a three-week stretch of this offense bouncing back every single time they give up runs. This offense never saying quit. Even the other day, they get to the point where, even though they're being shut down the entire game, they come up at the end of the game and bring at least the tying run to the plate. Like, they've battled here. They give you a little bit of fight. But this group that is just naturally hot and cold is going through a cold spell. And they've been completely shut down the last three games. And now you're looking at a big game tomorrow to determine what this West Coast trip looks like when you headed into L.A. and took the first two, and now you could be staring a 2-4 West Coast trip as opposed to a winning one. So that's how quickly the baseball season can change. But we are focused mainly to start the show on the Garden, on the Rangers, and the idea that these two teams are giving us something we haven't seen in forever. 877-337-6666. We'll get a little bit more into the baseball. We'll get a little more into the Yankees. We'll get a little more into the Mets. We'll talk about DJ LeMahieu. And we will get into what the Giants in particular plan on doing on Thursday, as we are 2 days away from the NFL draft.